Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the White House. It's pretty warm out there. Yeah, you can clap about being here. It's an exciting day. We want to thank each and every one of you for joining us on this very important 20th anniversary of the passage of the ADA Act. Thank you so much for being with us here today. It's an important moment in our nation's history. And 20 years ago this day, President George H.W. Bush signed the ADA into law, and today it remains one of the most sweeping landmark pieces of legislation, civil rights legislation, in our nation's history. So thank you again for all of your support over the last 20 years. The ADA has opened up countless doors that have previously been closed to millions of American citizens who are living with disabilities. And by eliminating physical obstacles and by prohibiting discrimination, the ADA finally provided disabled Americans with their fair shot at pursuing the American dream. So that's why we're here to celebrate. And we celebrate the fundamental promise of equality for Americans with disabilities that began in earnest 20 years ago. Today is perhaps our biggest celebration of the ADA to date, but it's certainly not our first. In fact, I had the pleasure of kicking off the Obama administration's official commemoration over a month ago at the Kennedy Center as a part of the VSA International Festival, a terrific evening for all of those who were there. Since then, the White House has joined several of our agency partners in hosting events, including the Department of Justice, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Education, and many more. Each event has highlighted ways in which your government is working to further enhance the opportunities for the 54 million Americans who are living with disabilities. And today, as a series of commemoration events that we have had over the last month, we are culminating it here today, and we are just delighted for the fun and the entertainment and the new exciting announcements that we have for you. So in just a moment, you're going to hear from a true leader and pioneer in the disabilities community, a dear friend of mine, Mark Urbisto. I've had a round of applause for Mark. Because you see, Marka is a hometown girl. She's from Chicago. And I've had the pleasure of knowing and working with her over the last 20 years since we worked together in the city of Chicago. We have worked together. We have fought. She is a strong and virulent advocate, as you know. We have laughed together and we have cried together. But lately, our tears have been tears of joy. And the fact that she could be here with us today brings those of us who are from Chicago a special pleasure and delight. After Marka, her speech will be followed by three outstanding artists. We're going to have Marley Maton, Nathaniel Ayers, and Patti LaBelle. That's what I say about Patti, always. And finally, Joyce Bender, an entrepreneur and internationally recognized voice on disability rights, will introduce our very own President Obama. As you will hear from the President, the Obama administration is deeply committed to honoring and enforcing the principles set forth by the ADA. As our events over the last month have demonstrated, we as a nation have certainly come a long way since 1990 towards ensuring equal opportunity for all Americans. But that's not to say, however, that our work is finished, as we must use this anniversary of the ADA to not only remember the importance of this legislation, but to renew our commitment to preserving its promise for all future generations. And we know that working together, we are confident that we can do just that. So again, I thank you for being here joining us here at the White House, or as the President and the First Lady like to say, your house. So welcome home and enjoy our festivities. Thank you.
I love you, Beto. Mr. President, members of Congress, friends and colleagues, this is a great day. Let's hear it. Happy birthday, ADA! More than 20 years ago, the then little-known National Council on Disability, led by Sandra Perino, Justin Dart, and Lex Fridin, launched the most comprehensive civil rights law since the Civil Rights Act of 1964. At first, it was met with hesitancy, but then a ragtag army of people who couldn't hear, couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't see, couldn't speak, did what everybody said couldn't be done. We re-educated Congress, and together we passed the Americans with Disabilities Act. In my good friend, former Congressman Tony Quello's words, we did this by sharing the scar tissue of our lives. We sent policymakers thousands of discrimination diaries, snapshots of what it was like to be a disabled person in 1989. Our rally cry was just two simple words: simple justice. The legislative process wasn't simple, but we forged that bipartisan alliance and made history. I want to say thank you to our leaders, to my heroes, all of you, people like Pat Wright, the general. Hold your applause, there's a lot of them here. Liz Savage, Judy Heumann, Ralph Neese, Dick and Ginny Thornburg, Bobby Silverstein, Paul Marchand, Bob Bergdorf, Carolyn Ossolinik, Michael Winter, Yoshiko Dart, John Kemp, Hi Feldblum, and so many others. Now you can clap. And to our congressional partners who reached across the aisle, joined in common purpose through the universality of the disability experience. Thank you so much to Senators Harkin, Dole, Weicker, Hatch, Durbin, and the late Senators Kennedy and Simon. And to our friends in the other House, Congressman Quello, Owens, Hoyer, Bartlett, Fish, and so many others, we could not have done this without all of your tireless effort. But today, we are not here only to celebrate the law and the incredible transformation of society it has set in motion. We are really here to celebrate the incredible power of the disability rights movement and our allies, all of you. The changes that this law called for, lifts on buses, accessible facilities, streets and public services, accessible ATMs, telecommunication, access to the workplace, and many others, could not and would not have happened without us. Civil rights laws do not self-enforce. They only come to life when enlightened citizens, people who say no to the outdated policies of segregation, dependence, and paternalism, seize their rights and push the envelope of reform. Today, I am reminded of those heroes of our movement who are no longer with us: Justin Dart, Ed Roberts, Frank Bow, Elizabeth Boggs, Wade Blank, Sharon Missler, Evan Kemp, Judy Chamberlain, Paul Hearn, Howie the Harp, and so many others. And I look out in the crowd and I see the next generation of leaders like Aaron Malakote, Miriam Sementwala, and Ari Nemen. And then I think of all those people still locked up in institutions, people like my fellow Illinoisans, Stanley Legas, Ethel Williams, and Lanille Colbert. It is for all of them that we must redouble our efforts. We will not stop fighting the systemic and illegal institutionalization of people with disabilities who are today languishing in nursing homes and other institutions. And I want to say a special thank you, Mr. President, to you, your administration, and Attorney General Holder in particular, for making Olmstead enforcement a priority of your administration. As we look forward to the next 20 years, I know we will prevail. We will prevail because our cause is just and right. We will prevail because I believe in all of you. President Obama, members of Congress, we ask you to join us in the unfinished business of the ADA, the IDEA, the Fair Housing Amendments Act, and importantly now, ratifying the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the first human rights treaty of the 21st century. In the words of our trusted and beloved leader, Justin Dart, when he led us in this great cause for justice and equality, bear with me, equipment malfunction, ADA, America wins. I have a button from the actual signing ceremony that Yoshiko has given me to give to the president. And I want you to help me close our ceremony in words that I know you all know, Justin's words. Colleagues, together we have overcome. Together we shall overcome. Lead on. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ms. Marley Matlin.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a glorious day. I remember the morning that I first asked the meaning of the word love. This was before I knew many words. I had found a few early violets in the garden and brought them to my teacher. "What is love?" I asked. She drew me close to her and said, "It is here," pointing to my heart, whose beats I was conscious of for the first time. Her words puzzled me very much because I did not understand anything unless I touched it. I smelt the violets in her hand and asked, half in words and half in signs, "Is love the sweetness of flowers?" "No," said my teacher. Again, I thought, "The warm sun is shining on us." "Is this not love?" I asked, pointing in the direction from which the heat came. "Is this not love?" It seemed to me there could be nothing more beautiful than the sun, whose warmth makes all things grow. But Miss Sullivan shook her head, and I was greatly puzzled and disappointed. A day or two afterwards, I was stringing beads of different sizes in symmetrical groups. I had made many mistakes, and Miss Sullivan had pointed them out with gentle patience. Finally, I noticed a very obvious error, and for an instant, I concentrated on how I should have arranged the beads. Miss Sullivan touched my forehead and and spelled into my hand with decided emphasis, think. For a long time, I was still. I wasn't thinking of the beads in my lap, but trying to find a meaning for love in light of this new idea. The sun had been under a cloud all day, but suddenly it broke through in all its southern splendor. Again, I asked my teacher, is this not love? Love is something like the clouds that were in the sky before the sun came out, she replied. You cannot touch the clouds, you know, but you feel the rain and know how glad the flowers and the thirsty earth are to have pour into everything. Without love, you would not be happy or want to play. The beautiful truth burst upon my mind. I felt there were invisible lines stretched between my spirit and the spirit of others. In a society where she would have most certainly been condemned to a life of fearful limitation and mortality, Helen Keller rose and soared above everyone's expectations to become a symbol of triumph over adversity, making disability seem less threatening. And though Helen Keller lived in a world of silence and darkness, prejudice and discrimination, silence, as I've said so often for myself, is the last thing the world ever heard from her. Helen Keller, young woman and girl, complex and enigmatic, blind and deaf, on this 20th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, your inspiration rings more loudly and shines more brightly today. Now, I have the pleasure of introducing Ms. Melody Barnes, Assistant to the President and Director of the Domestic Policy Council.
Thank you so much, Marley Matlin. And good evening, everyone. Happy ADA anniversary. Oh, come on, happy ADA anniversary. That's right. It is so wonderful to be here with you this evening and to work for a president who is very deeply committed to honoring and enforcing the rights of persons who are living with disabilities. And I'm also very grateful to the members of Congress who are here with us this evening, because you have done the long and arduous and wonderful work of making the ADA a reality. Thank you. The Americans with Disabilities Act was a landmark piece of civil rights legislation, a formal acknowledgement that Americans living with disabilities are Americans first. They're entitled to every right and responsibility, every freedom and every opportunity that flows from our Constitution, our laws, and our sense of decency. The road that brought us to the ADA was long and hard. You remember the debate. There were people who argued that the bill went too far. There were those who argued with us and told us that it would, quote, devastate our economy. But because you worked so long and so hard alongside members of Congress, because you dedicated yourself and worked relentlessly in the pursuit of justice, because you wouldn't let bias and prejudice and excuses stand in the way and stall progress, Congress passed this crucial piece of legislation 20 years ago. After passage of the ADA, I had the honor and the privilege of working with one of our great congressional heroes, Senator Edward M. Kennedy. And I can tell you, thank you. I know his spirit is with us here today, along with so many other heroes. I can tell you, working with him day after day after day, that he worked to breathe life into the words of the legislation. Whether we were focusing on jobs or health care, whether we were talking about athletics or the arts, it didn't matter. He wanted to make sure that everyone had access to opportunity. In his words, disabled people are not unable. With all the challenges facing our country, we cannot afford to ignore the talent of the disabled or neglect the skills they have to offer. Given where we are today, those words have never been more true. And that's why I'm so proud today to work for President Obama and to be a part of this administration. From day one, we've built on the achievements embodied in the ADA while casting our eyes to the future, while recognizing the possibility of what can be. That's why President Obama was proud to add America to the list of 140 countries that signed on to the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And I've heard it acknowledged, the first human rights treaty of this century. That's why he provided more than $12 billion working with members of Congress in the Recovery Act for the IDEA. And that's why last year he launched the Year of Community Living and, but wait, there's more. And that's also why he signed the Christopher and Dana Reeves Paralysis Act into law. Today is a truly remarkable day, a day of celebration. It reminds us, in Dr. King's words, that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. After all, this is a beginning, not an end. After celebrating tonight, tomorrow, we all go back to work, bending ever closer to justice and opportunity for all people. So thank you for all that you have done and all that we will certainly accomplish together. And now please join me in welcoming Nathaniel Ayers.
This is a great day. To stand here with my sisters and brothers who are citizens with disabilities, to join with parents, activists, artists, and supporters to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act is quite simply a joy. I'm not an expert on the ADA. I'm an American with a disability who thinks the letter and spirit of this groundbreaking law has made my life better and will, with continued hard work, pave the way for future generations of people with every type of disability to achieve their full potential. As a newly disabled man in 1978, I knew nothing of disability rights. I wanted to be an actor and a musician, and I was intent on pursuing my passion. Well-meaning friends urged me to pursue a more appropriate career. I, of course, ignored them. During the past 32 years, I've been influenced by many people in the disability community. The heavy lifting, however, to quote Arlene Meyerson, has been done by many thousands of people who make up the disability rights movement. People who have worked for years organizing and attending protests, licking envelopes, sending out alerts, drafting legislation, speaking, testifying, negotiating, lobbying, filing lawsuits, being arrested, in short, doing whatever they could do for a cause they believed in. I wasn't here in March of 1990 when three dozen of my brothers and sisters abandoned their wheelchairs and crawled up the Capitol steps. Their struggle reminds me this battle for basic human and civil rights is a marathon race. Every victory, like the ADA, is hard fought and only begins the next phase of the journey. There are so many heroes in our movement. Mine include Dr. Victoria Ann Lewis, theater and disability study professor at the University of Redlands. Alan Toy, an actor and activist from Los Angeles. Terry Hartman Squire, a dynamo in the world of disability communications. Dr. Paul Longmore, historian and disability studies prof from San Francisco. And Gail Williamson, a champion of children with Down syndrome. I'm also proud of my unions, SAG, AFTRA, and Actors Equity, who were here at the original signing of the ADA in 1990. Another man who's influenced me greatly is my brother, Bruce Hall. He was born legally blind. Our mother fought to keep him mainstreamed in school, and Bruce grew up to become a teacher and an award-winning photographer. He's also the father of handsome 9-year-old twin boys, Jack and James, who have profound autism. As many of you parents understand, Bruce and his wife, Valerie, climb the equivalent of the Capitol steps every day to provide the best possible life for their sons. I also owe a debt of gratitude to the men and women who pushed for passage of the ADA. And of course, I honor the pioneers of the disability civil rights movement as well. But right now, it is my great honor to introduce an American who understands that obstacles are part of life and they can be dealt with. A man who, with our help, is fighting for authentic and lasting solutions for all Americans in so many areas. A husband, father, son, and grandson who recognizes that Americans with disabilities have only begun to claim their birthright. Please join me in welcoming the 44th president of our great country, Barack Obama.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much. Well, we have a gorgeous day to celebrate an extraordinary event in the life of this nation. Welcome, all of you, to our White House. And thank you, Robert, for the wonderful introduction. It is a pleasure and honor to be with all of you on the 20th anniversary of one of the most comprehensive civil rights bills in the history of this country, the Americans with Disabilities Act. I see so many champions of this law here today. I wish I had time to acknowledge each and every one of you. I want to thank all of you. But I also want to thank our cabinet secretaries and the members of my administration here today who are working to advance the goals of the ADA so that it is not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law that's being applied all across this country. I want to thank the members of Congress in attendance who fought to make ADA possible and to keep improving it throughout the years. I want to acknowledge Dick Thornburgh, who worked hard to make this happen as Attorney General under President George H.W. Bush. And by the way, I had a chance to speak to President Bush before I came out here, and he sends heartfelt regards to all of you, and he's extraordinarily proud of the law that was passed. He was very humble about his own role, but I think it's worth acknowledging the great work that he did. We also remember those we've lost who helped make this law possible, like our old friend Ted Kennedy. And I see Patrick here. And Justin Dart Jr., a man folks call the father of the ADA, whose wife, Yoshiko, is here. Yoshiko, so nice to see you. I also noticed that Elizabeth Dole is here, and I had a chance to speak to Bob Dole as well, and thank him for the extraordinary role that he played in advancing this legislation. Let me also say that Congressman Jim Langevin wanted to be here today, but he's currently presiding over the House chamber, the first time in our history somebody using a wheelchair has done so. Now today, as we commemorate what the ADA accomplished, we celebrate who the ADA was all about. It was about the young girl in Washington State who just wanted to see a movie at her hometown theater, but was turned away because she had cerebral palsy. Or the young man in Indiana who showed up at a work site, able to do the work, excited for the opportunity, but was turned away and called a cripple because of a minor disability he had already trained himself to work with. Or the student in California who was eager and able to attend the college of his dreams and refused to let the iron grip of polio keep him from the classroom, each of whom became integral to this cause. And it was about all of you. You understand these stories because you or someone you loved lived them. And that sparked a movement. It began when Americans no longer saw their own disabilities as a barrier to their success and set out to tear down the physical and social barriers that were. It grew when you realized you weren't alone. It became a massive wave of bottom-up change that swept across the country as you refused to accept the world as it was, and when you were told, no, don't try, you can't, you responded with that age-old American creed, yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Sit-ins in San Francisco. Yes, we can. Demonstrations in Denver. Yes, we can. Protests in Washington, D.C. Yes, at Gallaudet and before Congress. People marched and organized and testified, and laws changed and minds changed, and progress was won. Now, that's not to say it was easy. You didn't always have folks in Washington to fight on your behalf. And when you did, they weren't as powerful, as well-connected, as well-funded as the lobbyists who lined up to kill any attempt at change. And at first, you might have thought, what does anyone in Washington know or care about my battle? But what you knew from your own experience is that disability touches us all. If one in six Americans has a disability, then odds are the rest of us love somebody with a disability. I was telling a story to a group that was in the Oval Office before I came out here about Michelle's father, who had MS. By the time I met him, he had to use two canes just to walk. He was stricken with MS when he was 30 years old, but he never missed a day of work. Had to wake up an hour early to get dressed, to get to the job, but that was his attitude. So what? He could do it. Didn't miss a dance recital, did not miss a ball game of his son. Everybody's got a story like that, somewhere in their family. And that's how you rallied an unlikely assortment of leaders in Congress and in the White House to the cause. Congressmen like Steny Hoyer, who knew his wife Judy's battle with epilepsy, and Tony Coelho, who waged his own, and Jim Sensenbrenner, whose wife Cheryl is a tremendous leader and advocate for the community, and they're both here today. Senators like Tom Harkin, who's here today and who signed part of a speech on the ADA so his deaf brother, Frank, would understand. And Ted Kennedy, whose sister had a severe intellectual disability and whose son lost a leg to cancer. And Bob Dole, who was wounded serving heroically in World War II. Senior officials in the White House, and even the president himself. They understood this injustice from the depths of their own experience. They also understood that by allowing this injustice to stand, we were depriving our nation and our economy of the full talents and contributions of tens of millions of Americans with disabilities. That is how the ADA came to be, when, to his enduring credit, President George H.W. Bush signed it into law on this lawn on this day 20 years ago. That's how you changed America. Equal access to the classroom, the workplace, and the transportation required to get there. Equal opportunity to live full and independent lives the way we choose. Not dependence, but independence. That's what the ADA was all about. But while it was a historic milestone in the journey to equality, it wasn't the end. There was and is more to do. And that's why today I'm announcing one of the most important updates to the ADA since its original enactment in 1991. Today, the Department of Justice is publishing two new rules protecting disability-based discrimination, or prohibiting disability-based discrimination by more than 80,000 state and local government entities and 7 million private businesses. And beginning 18 months from now, all new buildings must be constructed in a way that's compliant with the new 2010 standards for the design of doors and windows and elevators and bathrooms. Buildings like stores and restaurants and schools and stadiums and hospitals and hotels and theaters. My predecessor's administration proposed these rules 6 years ago. And in those 6 years, they've been improved upon with more than 4,000 comments from the public. We've heard from all sides. And that's allowed us to do this in a way that makes sense economically and allows appropriate flexibility while ensuring Americans with disabilities full participation in our society. And for the very first time, these rules will cover recreational facilities like amusement parks and marinas and gyms and golf facilities and swimming pools, yes, and municipal facilities like courtrooms and prisons. From now on, businesses must follow practices that allow individuals with disabilities an equal chance to purchase tickets for accessible seating at sporting events and concerts. Yeah. And our work goes on. Even as we speak, Attorney General Eric Holder is preparing new rules to ensure accessibility of websites. Yes, we can. We're also placing a new focus on hiring Americans with disabilities across the federal government. Today, only 5% of the federal workforce is made up of Americans with disabilities, far below the proportion of Americans with disabilities in the general population. In a few moments, I'll sign an executive order that will establish the federal government as a model employer of individuals with disabilities. So we're going to boost recruitment, we're going to boost training, we're going to boost retention, we'll better train hiring managers, each agency will have a senior official who's accountable for achieving the goals we've set, and I expect regular reports. And we're going to post our progress online so that you can hold us accountable too. And these new steps build on the progress my administration's already made. To see that no one who signs up to fight for our country is ever excluded from its promise, we've made major investments in improving the care and treatment for our wounded warriors. To ensure full access to participation in our democracy and our economy, we're working to make all government websites accessible to persons with disabilities. We're expanding broadband internet access to Americans who are deaf and hard of hearing. We followed through with a promise I made to create 3 new disability offices at the State Department, Department of Transportation, and at FEMA. And to promote equal rights across the globe, the United States of America joined 140 other nations in signing the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, the first new human rights convention of the 21st century. America was the first nation on Earth to comprehensively declare equality for its citizens with disabilities, we should join the rest of the world to declare it again. And when I submit our ratification package to Congress, I expect passage to be swift. And to advance the right to live independently, I launched the Year of Community Living on the 10th anniversary of the Olmstead decision, a decision that declared the involuntary institutional isolation of people with disabilities unlawful discrimination under the ADA. So HHS Secretary Kathleen Sebelius and HUD Secretary Sean Donovan have worked together to improve access to affordable housing and community supports and independent living arrangements for people with disabilities, and we continue the program that successfully helps people with disabilities transition to the community of their choice. And I'm proud of the work that the Department of Justice is doing to enforce Olmstead across the country. And we've finally broken down one of the discriminatory barriers that the ADA left in place, because for too long our healthcare system denied coverage to tens of millions of Americans with pre-existing conditions, including Americans with disabilities. It was time to change that. And we did. Yes, we did. So the Affordable Care Act I signed into law 4 months ago will give every American more control over their health care, and it will do more to give Americans with disabilities control over their own lives than any legislation since the ADA. I know many of you know the frustration of fighting with an insurance company. That's why this law finally shifts the balance of power from them to you and to other consumers. No more denying coverage to children based on a pre-existing condition or disability. No more lifetime limits on coverage. No more dropping your coverage when you get sick and need it the most because your insurance company found an unintentional error in your paperwork. And because Americans with disabilities are living longer and more independently, this law will establish better long-term care choices for Americans with disabilities as a consequence of the CLASS Act, an idea Ted Kennedy championed 4 years. Equal access, equal opportunity, the freedom to make our lives what we will. These aren't principles that belong to any one group or any one political party. They are common principles. They are American principles. No matter who we are, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, gay, straight, disabled or not, these are the principles we cherish as citizens of the United States of America. They were guaranteed to us in our founding documents. One of the signers of those documents was a man named Stephen Hopkins. He was a patriot, a scholar, a 9-time governor of Rhode Island. It's also said he had a form of palsy. And on July 4th, 1776, as he grasped his pen to sign his name to the Declaration of Independence, he said, "My hand trembles, but my heart does not. My hand trembles, but my heart does not." Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, words that began our never-ending journey to form a more perfect union, to look out for one another, to advance opportunity and prosperity for all of our people, to constantly expand the meaning of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, to move America forward. That's what we did with the ADA. That is what we do today. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow, together. So thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. Let me sign this order.
Mr. President, congratulations. Thank you so much.